It's great to have a good number of guests with us this evening. A particular guest I'd like to welcome personally is Ian Lancaster. Ian is actually our guest speaker this evening, so it's great to have him with us. Ian isn't normally a part of this church. He works for an organisation called Christians in Sport. He may tell you a bit about that a little bit later on. And he's come to spend this evening with us down from Oxford. Ian, it's great to have you with us as well.
Thank you, Rupert, for your warm welcome. It is great to be here. Please keep your Bibles open in Luke chapter 19 as I get one or two things sorted. I've noticed there are pens around tables. What I'd love you to do is complete the sentence in the simplest way you possibly can. If you're a Christian, if you're not a Christian, if you're thinking about Christian things, if you're not thinking about Christian things at all, but you've come along for a coffee and you're here because you're just keeping your friend happy, that's all right. Let's just go with this. Take a pen and on a blank piece of paper, a bit of paper in front of you, please complete the sentence. The Christian faith is all about ... You go. In the simplest, clearest way possible. You're not going to share it with anyone later, so you can just fold the piece of paper after you've had a minute writing that. Why don't we start with that? I'll get sorted here, and I will give you a minute in silence, but not awkward silence. You can turn to the person next to you if you want to discuss it. Off we go. 1 minute. Great. Well, I wonder if what you've written might change because of this passage in front of us over the course of the evening. I hope perhaps even if you're a Christian, what you've written might change. As you find out, as we find out, that the Christian faith really is simple. What the Christian faith is all about doesn't get any simpler than what we have in front of us tonight. Luke 19, verses 1-10. I don't know if you're familiar with the story. I grew up in church, Sunday school. One of my favourite stories. I just like to picture what on earth it looked like in that very time. Zacchaeus, a small little man, running to see Jesus, climbing up a tree because there was something in him that was inquisitive to see such a guy. Let's dive into the passage and have a look. Pick some things out that can help us answer this question. What is the Christian faith all about? Verse 1, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. Joe, you said something else. He's got many pronunciations that we use in church at the moment. Here he is, Zac, we might call him for this evening. And you see Jesus, he's not intending to stop. He's not intending to visit Zacchaeus. He's intending to pass by. Because he is resolutely, earlier on, as Luke records, he is resolutely heading to Jerusalem. Jesus is on a mission. And from Galilee, down through the Jordan Valley, hit Jericho, pull a right, and out you go, Judean desert, and you'll hit Jerusalem. He's passing through Jericho. No intention of stopping. And Luke, who is a historian, he's a doctor, he's careful in his investigation. We find that out from Luke chapter 1, the very few first verses of Luke chapter 1. He is a detailed man. He wants to record the life, the account of Jesus and his death in such a way that as written to his friend Theophilus, would take it, would understand it, and would trust in what Luke is writing about. That is why Luke writes this. So there's no mistake that this is included or recorded. Luke has every intention on helping us tonight see the real Jesus and see what the Christian faith really is all about. Verse 2, a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax collector and he was wealthy. He was in charge of other tax collectors. And probably he took a fair share of the cut. In fact, it wasn't fair at all. He took a cut of the taxes that were owed to the Romans for himself. In fact, the Romans probably paid him off a little bit to do this job. And everyone knew Zacchaeus as a sinner. He was wealthy because of this income. And here's another small detail about him. Indeed, he was very short, a short man. I had a friend at university, a really good lad, Tezza, his name was. And you know the gags. I'm sure that you've been involved in the gags. You might have been on the end of a gag, such as Tez standing up to do a presentation at university. He would get up and stand and deliver it, and you could bet someone in the class would always go, "Stand up, Tezza," and he'd be stood in front of everyone. And someone else would go, "Go on, Tezza, stand up." Now, if you're short, and it's rich coming from me because I kind of just scrape in 5'9", but of course I would love it. I would always join in, and Tezza would take it happily. A short guy, Tezza. Here's my view of Zacchaeus. He's a short man. He's like my friend Tezza. And Luke is almost a comical account of this man, Zacchaeus. He's short, but he's also resourceful. Because he can't see Jesus, and he wants to see him. So he runs on ahead, and he climbs a sycamore fig tree. In the incidental detail, the fig tree would have been lined up on that main road with low-hanging branches. Great to climb if you're a lad. But if you're a full-grown man in that day and age, an odd, odd thing to do. It's almost like he's starstruck. I just want a sight of him. I want a view of this man. I've heard about him. I just want to see him. So up the tree he goes. I wonder, when was the last time you saw a star, a famous person? Perhaps you walked by them in London, perhaps at an airport. My wife, she comes down to London now and again from Oxford. She coaches squash. She came back one night. And she told me of the time she'd had tea with her sister, who lives here, and they saw a famous person. And they got quite excited, so much so that they did a double back and cut the guy and the girl off so that they could walk past him a second time, waiting with bated breath. Who was this? Dermot O'Leary. As you can imagine. A little bit gutted. Well, devastated, really. Dermot O'Leary? Well, he was quite a small guy as well. But really, you had to take a double back to see him again? And my wife convinces me that it was her sister. No problem. It was all Tanya. She just wanted to see Dermot Leary again. Here's Zacchaeus. There's probably no other reason why Zacchaeus wants to see Jesus. We don't know. But he's heard of Jesus. He's starstruck. He wants to see him. And he's a resourceful man. Climbs the tree and he waits. He perches there, hoping just to get a glimpse. If there are two points to take away tonight, here they are quite simply. This is a story about a great sinner, and it's a story about a greater Savior. This is the heart of the Christian faith. For as Zacchaeus sits up in the tree waiting for Jesus, hold the story there. Just go down to verse 7. All the people saw this, saw what happens next, and they begin to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." See, Zacchaeus is known as a sinner. How? Why? Because of his outward deeds. He's a liar. He's a cheat. He's a fraud. He's a scoundrel, most probably. They looked on the outside and they could easily point the finger. There he is, Zacchaeus the sinner, a great sinner. It's very easy for me to do that too tonight. I've been a Christian for 16 years. Very easy for me to read this and to be like one of the crowd, to point the finger, to look over there and say, "You see what's wrong with the world? It's because of that group of people, because of him. You see her attitude to this? I did it the other day in the park. I've got two young children." And there's nothing more that irritates me in a play park than to see children run up the slide when there are steps to go up the slide. And as my two 1.5-year-old Tommy, 3.5-year-old Corabel come down the slide, you know, all over the place, Tommy's banging his head, and he makes then the long journey round the slide to walk up just to see two of the guys, the children that had come down after him, but they're already before him, sprinting up the slide, bang, 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 bang. And the parents just stood there looking on. I was raging inside. God, just get a grip. That's why there's steps there. It's very so easy for me to point the finger, to look outward. And because of the physical outward appearance, what's happening in front of me, very easy for me to point the finger and say, that's what's wrong with the world. That's it. The people know Zacchaeus is a great sinner because of the outworking of the heart. But the Bible doesn't let me see sin that way. The Bible talks in another place about the essence of sin, the heart of sin. And it doesn't just leave it to a small group of people, a crowd, or someone who you would definitely see as a sinner because of their outward appearance or outward doings. The Bible tells me that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have taken it upon themselves to reject God. The heart of sin is self-absorption. I'm just committed to me and my ways. And the outward expression of that takes so many varying lenses, so many varying ways. See, the Bible tells me that I am a sinner, that I am sinful, that I'm so absorbed with myself. In two specific ways, yes, as we heard tonight, as we have such a wrong view of ourselves, a distorted view of ourselves. We're made in the image of God, and yet we don't look at ourselves like that. There's a huge distortion the way that we look at ourselves, but an absorption of that. Or the other way, we think more highly of ourselves than we ought. Proud people. And look at others as the wrongdoers. The Bible says, no, no, all. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I wonder what you make of that this evening. I think for my friends who are not Christians, this is the sticking point. You don't know me, Ian, really. Well, I'm a good guy. I'm all right. See, what's wrong with the Christian faith is that it's so judgmental. It tells me who I am, and I'm not that person. You're wrong. Say one or two of my other friends. Now, the Bible says you are wrong. What you do is just a symptom of what's going on in here, the heart, a rejection of God, of his rule. Zacchaeus is a great sinner. But there are three points worth mentioning off the back of Zacchaeus being a great sinner. See, look at verse 6. As he sits in the tree and waits for Jesus, Jesus passes by and he says to him, Zacchaeus, come down. Come down, my friend. I'm coming to yours tonight. I must stay at your house. And so in verse 6, Zacchaeus, he came down at once and he welcomed him gladly. Zacchaeus, the sinner, the great sinner, he welcomes Jesus gladly, with joy, with real joy. It's probably the point of understanding who Jesus is. It's probably the way that Jesus has addressed him. But he welcomes him. And then in verse 8, see, Zacchaeus stood up after the people said, oh, he's a sinner, what is Jesus doing? Zacchaeus said, Lord, look. Look, Lord, he says. You see, Zacchaeus, the great sinner, he now certainly has a right understanding of who Jesus is. Lord, Master. welcome you gladly, and a right recognition of who Jesus is. And then we go on. Now I give half of my possessions to the poor. If I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. He welcomes Jesus gladly, one. He recognizes Jesus as the man he is, Lord. And there's remorse, and there's repentance, and there's actions. You see, here's the story. He's a sinner, and he's been hugely affected by the Lord Jesus. So much so that he welcomes him. He recognizes him. And thirdly, there's real remorse and repentance. When I became a Christian, DC Talk, the band, you'll have never heard of them. Not amazing, but just a great band for me as I was growing up. They sang one song which really affected me as a guy in his early 20s. And here's some of the lyrics to the song. The disease of self runs through myself. It's a cancer, fatal to my soul. Every attempt on my behalf has failed to bring this sickness under control. Tell me what's going on inside of me. I despise my own behavior. This only serves to confirm my suspicions that I'm still a man in need of a savior. Here's Zacchaeus. I welcome you, Jesus, because you're Lord. You're someone who can do something about my situation. And look at the results. Well, look what happened as Zacchaeus sees himself, sees who Jesus is, and repents. Well, Zacchaeus, a great sinner. And secondly, Jesus, a greater savior, or a great savior. Back to verse 5 and pick up the story there. When Jesus reached the spot, Jesus, remember, is passing through. But when he reaches the spot, Luke wants to record this. Just at the right time, in the right place, Jesus stops. When he reaches the spot, he looks up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. Three things just about Jesus, and then we'll finish. See how Jesus addresses him? He's so kind, calls him by his name. Perhaps Zacchaeus hasn't heard his name being called for a very long time. The nicknames that are used, even branded as a sinner. And Jesus stops and he calls him by name, Zacchaeus. I wonder how he felt at that moment as he peered down from the tree. The man that I've been waiting to see is now stood underneath me. He's looked up and he's called me by name, Zacchaeus. It's with real kindness and with affection. It's the call of Jesus. I remember that for me. I remember that personal call. Of course, I didn't hear a voice, but I remember it. I remember when the Christian faith made real sense for me, not just my friends. I became a Christian in my last year of university, and I can remember it all slotting into place. And I can remember when it all made sense for me. It was as if it all came true. It was all done for me. When he stopped me and called me, the summer of 1999. I can remember it quite vividly. I knew then that he came for me. That then I could call him my savior. That I could call him my friend. That I could call him my Lord. And here's Zacchaeus in the tree. He's called by name. By the savior. By the Lord. If you're a Christian here tonight, you remember that time when he called you? It was almost like an irresistible call. Perhaps before, like me, you were striving to work out what the Christian faith was all about. If there was any meaning in it, if it was true, if it was relevant. I think I did that for years. Until a moment came where I had finished striving because an irresistible call had come on my life where it was true. Of course it was true. It just made real sense. And it was a personal call. I knew it was for me. It wasn't for my friends or for my parents. See, Jesus is kind. And secondly, and don't miss this, Jesus is urgent. Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house. You see that? Oh yes, when Jesus is kind, there's still an urgency about his call, about coming to follow him. You must come down. I must come to yours. Come down immediately, says Jesus. And if you're not a Christian here tonight, great that you're here. But this is really important. It's really crucial. The call of Jesus on your life is urgent. Come down immediately. Come to me. Understand who you really are. Understand what your greatest need is. Understand who I am. Understand what I've done for you. Put your trust in me immediately. Today. Tonight. It's the day of salvation. See, Jesus' words are kind. Jesus' words are urgent. And Jesus, finally, in verse 9, Jesus has come to save. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. You see the crowd standing by. He's a sinner. They're disgusted with Jesus. What are you doing, Jesus? Do you not know who this man is? Imagine the moment as Jesus turns back. Of course I know who this man is. Stopped at the right spot. Looked at him and called him by name. Of course I know who this man is. Yeah, but what are you doing then? Going to his house, say the crowd. Do you not know he's a sinner? Jesus, of course. Yeah, of course. And that's why I'm here. Today salvation has come to this house. Because this man, too, is a son of Abraham. This man, too, has the faith that Abraham had. Look how he's reacted. This is exactly why I've come, says Jesus. To seek and save that which is lost. Jesus' words are kind. His words are urgent. And he does save. Wonder what your sentence was at the beginning. Was it anything to do with Jesus? Was it anything to do with you? Or was it anything to do with linking those two things up together with words like save? That which is lost. That is the essence of the Christian faith. That tonight I would stop and say, I don't know life. I've not got life in its fullness. I've rejected you, God. But thank you for coming to do something about it. Because as we finish, this is exactly what Jesus came to do. Remember, he's on his way to Jerusalem. He's passing through Jericho. This story is a little snapshot of what Jesus goes on to do for the world. As he dies on the cross, as he's nailed there on the tree, as his hands are stretched from side to side with the nails, he cries out in a loud breath, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Father, forgive Ian. Forgive him. He does not know what he's doing. For I come to seek and save that which is lost. I'm thankful to God that he came to find me 16 years ago. But I'm also thankful to a friend, Andy. He's the one guy that really helped me see who Jesus really was. He's the guy that persistently sent me books about the Christian faith. He's the guy that persistently wrote letters. We didn't have phones those days, but he wrote letters to me. How you doing, Lance? Good? Good form? Listen, where do you stand with Jesus? He's the boy that consistently and persistently prayed for me. I met him recently. We're good friends now. And we took off into the hills in the Lake District. And we pulled out a flask of coffee. We're getting old. Usually we just sprint around with a bottle of Lucozade here and there. But we're getting old and we tucked in behind some rocks. And we got a nice flask and lovely sugar. And we're sipping our coffee. And he pulled out a mug. Said, "Lax, present. I've got it. Here." He said, "This is for you. Don't ever forget it." If you can read those words, lost and found. He said, "Don't ever forget that 16 years ago. And always, every single day, know the simplicity of the gospel. That's it. That I was lost and now I have been found by wonderful grace. A gift from God that I do not deserve." And so tonight, the question stands for you. The Christian faith, what's it all about? ... I'm going to give you a minute. You might want to revise or change, do whatever you want to do to the sentence that you've already written. Here's what Luke says. Snapshot to what happens in Jerusalem. "I've come to seek and save that which is lost."